Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And Lars. Welcome to Going. Welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. And we're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Sorry, I heard your stupid blue right when I was supposed to say something. And then you said Ann Larson. I said Ann Larson.
You said Ann Larson too, and it just ruined everything.
Oh, that was great. That made me so happy just now. My own mistakes. Anyways, we're here. YouTube.com/Steven Larson. We've got 47 people watching now. They enjoyed a pre-show with Larson noodling around on a guitar.
Yeah, man.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Everybody's loving it.
Were they really?
No one's complaining.
Maybe we'll take a poll afterwards.
Oh, hold on. You need a new card over there.
All I can...
That one's the road to WrestleMania.
What is this crap? Advance directly to WrestleMania.
That means you win.
Do I automatically win that?
That doesn't seem fair.
Anyways, hopefully all these 47 people are going to be participating in chat trivia in the post show. And then after chat trivia, there's like substance on there.
Yeah, all those cards are stuck together. I bring stuff over here.
And jizz on it, man. It's weird.
I left them here and I just that put happened.
Them, yeah.
So I'm saying it's not my doing.
They finish me off sometimes, Larson. I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, we're also available on ProWrestlingTees.com. Rumor has it there's going to be a big sale for Black Friday. So, that should be fun. ProWrestlingTees.com/Going In Raw.
Yeah.
Anyways, and be sure to check out today's daily episode. We have some news, some kind of news about the club in the WWE. And what their status currently is. Because there are some rumors thanks to the...
There's no change in their status. They're not going anywhere.
Why would they ever watch the daily episode now?
So they get details.
Oh, man. All right. Anyways, you're just going rogue today, dude.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Took my guitar away from me.
You know what? I like the attitude, though. It's independent and thinking of foresight. I don't know. Anyways, what are we here talking about today? Were we watching? Was
SmackDown,
205
man.
Live? What is this? An old episode of NXT? Is that what we're going to talk about today? Goodness. What are we doing today?
I feel like me playing guitar for an hour would be more enjoyable
than what?
You acting like you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I kind of like my oblivious persona. I think it makes me laugh.
It's an obvious facade. It's fake. It's
really?
Act.
You think I actually know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about SmackDown then.
Yes.
Since you're so sure that I know what I'm talking about.
Well, you watched the show, didn't you?
I feel like SmackDown. In a nutshell, if we're going to go in a nutshell on
I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I thought it was entertaining.
I had a good time with it.
But if you actually pick it down, like if you break it down, if you pick apart the pieces, it was like a very standard episode of SmackDown.
But a standard episode of SmackDown is still enjoyable.
So the big news is Shane McMahon came down and announced that he's the captain.
He also fleshed out his motivation for going after Raw last week. Because at first, he kind of said, I think he said last week actually, if you're getting into a fight, strike first, essentially.
Oh, by the way, about that big, giant billboard Going In Raw sign in the audience?
That was awesome. Thank you.
Shout out to you, friendo.
Thank you. That was
whoever
great.
You may be.
And so he's talking about, and this is something I kind of mentioned on in Matt Chat that's going up Friday, about the perception of SmackDown as the B show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And how they don't want that perception. They're the A show in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're setting out to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
No, I like that too. I like that too. I
think they're framing good. Themselves as the underdog.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Which is another reason why Shane felt like they had to go on the offensive.
Yeah.
Go and attack Raw. Yeah. Because they are perceived as the underdog.
Sounds like they have actual motivation, Larson.
Yes.
I would say that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
I like this too. So the promo wasn't that long. And then we got into right into
it went directly into a match.
A best 2 out of 3 falls match. Yeah, he like looked over the stage and Bobby Roode was already entrancing.
Yeah.
Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler, of course, is the best 2 out of 3 match. This should be
the blow off.
You think this is a blow off? Two out of three falls match.
Yeah, it was fun too.
No, it was okay. So this was definitely their best match.
I wonder if this match was more indicative of what they were doing in dark matches. Because we've been hearing that the work they were doing their dark matches after SmackDown was really good.
Yeah. That could be the case. My only problem with 2 out of 3 falls matches like this one is that the first fall always comes when in a normal match it would be a near fall.
But I like how Bobby sold it, because it was a situation where he ran back into the ring, got up, started going towards Dolph, and Dolph super kicked the living heck out of him.
Yeah.
And he sold it wonderfully. Like, he just got caught completely by surprise by super kick, and it knocked him on his back. And I normally agree with you that if that happens too abruptly, it doesn't seem believable, but that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second fall, a roll-up, it seems kind of fluky, makes sense.
Well, it was Dolph.
My problem with the second fall has happened during a commercial break.
Oh, I didn't really mind that too much.
Falls should not happen during commercial breaks.
I'm just used to it by this time. Dolph, like, he went head for the reason the roll-up worked, according to the storyline, is Dolph went headfirst into
the turnbuckle,
and then Bobby. But I don't know if it was an exposed turnbuckle. I can see that maybe. I just feel like the falls came a bit too quick. That was my problem.
Well, it was like a 15-minute match. They gave it time.
Yeah, the 2 out of 3. There was three falls in a 15-minute match.
They're not going to give this match a half hour on a pay-per-view. They might, but they're not going to do that on SmackDown Live TV.
I know they probably don't want to do that, but they should. It's 2 out of 3 falls.
I agree.
I thought this actually should have been the main event.
Yeah.
Not in this episode. Never mind. Not in this episode.
It should have started off the second hour.
Yeah.
But you know, that's a good way to kick off the show. The crowd was into it. Bobby got a good reception.
Because if this is really their blow-off and it's not going to happen on a pay-per-view, it should be more than 15 minutes. You got three falls, which is essentially three matches.
Well, I think what you're running into is the 2 hour time limit we got for a SmackDown show. If this were on Raw, I would have been given an extra 5-10 minutes, maybe.
No, I know.
But they got to cram a lot of television,
saying,
a lot of storylines in the 2 hours.
Regardless of how they do it, you have three falls. And each fall gets like, what, 5 minutes? So that's like three.
You're asking a bit much.
5 minute matches.
You're asking a bit much.
Okay, all right. Anyways, what happened next?
After the match, Bobby won with the glorious DDT.
Mm-hmm.
Renee Young came into the ring to interview Bobby Roode. He's kind of stumbling over his promo stuff these days.
Because, dude,
he has no character. He has no motivation.
He doesn't know who he is, man. He really doesn't.
He said,
nobody.
We need people with the compassion.
Yeah, he said, nobody has more compassion, passion,
and competitiveness.
And competitiveness.
I wonder if an issue with heat in NXT, he didn't work off scripts, and now he's dedicating as much mental energy as memorizing and reciting his lines as delivering a performance, or maybe he's really method or something. He needs a firm character that he knows and can relate to, and then he can translate the scripted verbiage through that and deliver a performance rather than just reciting lines while trying to discover a character in the subtext of the lines.
I don't think it's an or situation, dude. I think it's both those things. Plus, I think it's the harsh travel schedule, which he has not done before, and he's still in his, third month maybe of doing this. I honestly think it's a combination of all those things, but you're absolutely right. He has been, and I love Bobby Roode. I said from day one, before he even signed with the company, I was like, this guy's going to be ready for Maine from the jump. And it turns out that might not have been the case. And it's one of those things where NXT really does help you understand the WWE way of doing things, but there's not a lot you can do to prepare you for the travel schedule.
No.
And if they're not doing scripts and promos in NXT the way they do them on Main, that's folly. I understand that NXT might have that, and I don't know if they are or aren't, but what you're saying sounds correct, that when he was in NXT, they never came off as scripted.
Oh, he was a rock star on the mic in NXT. He was fantastic.
And then he comes up to Maine, and either he's not allowed to do what he was doing in NXT, or they are just giving him a script 15 minutes beforehand, and he's not used to that. In that case, you're not developing people in NXT the way they should be developed for the main roster.
Yeah.
And it's just, for whatever reason with him, it's been the character shift. We've talked about this endlessly. The character shift from NXT to SmackDown has been... It's been a failure for him, and I don't get it.
I was thinking about last night, his trajectory in NXT. If they continued that on Main, brought him up as the heel, combine his really good in-ring work with his incredible mic work, with his theme song, with the glorious thing, that's a recipe right there for a massive heel run that culminates in a popular heel run, which culminates in a huge face turn.
I know.
The formula was there. If they had ran with it in 8 months, mm-hmm. he could be one of the top faces on SmackDown. Easily.
I know.
Easily. And they bungled it.
They bungled it immediately.
They wanted to get immediately to that face run. But he needed to... I mean, you know, I don't know what percentage of people who watch main roster programming watch NXT.
Yeah. Oh, there's another one for us. Okay. In any given WWE arena, it's got to be like 30%, right?
I was thinking 30 or 40%.
Yeah, 30%, yeah.
So that's 70 to 60% of the audience that doesn't know what he did in NXT.
God, maybe, but I don't know, man. As soon as his music kicked in, people... I mean, it's different. When did he... was it the after SummerSlam, the call-up? You're going to have more smarts in that audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
No, no, either.
I don't know. It's a freaking problem, though. I feel like it's a really easily solvable one.
I know.
And, I mean, I think with him, it's not going to get worse with time. It'll get better with time.
I think so, too. I think eventually. I hope it'll just be a situation where eventually they'll find a good program for him.
Mm-hmm.
And something will click.
Mm-hmm.
And he realize, okay, this is what this version of face Bobby Roode is supposed to be from a character standpoint.
Yeah.
And then once he finds that, or they find that, you know, himself and creative, then they can run with it. But until then...
You will not find anyone with more compassion. And I was like, how does that matter?
And then he just made that face for a
he
beat.
Did.
Passion.
He did. Oh, man. He'll get it together, dude.
Yeah.
He's too good not to. I just think he's freaking tired, man.
That could be part of it, too.
Used to sleep in the same bed for 40 years. let's see here. Next up, we saw the New Day roaming the hallways, giving out candy, but they were dressed up. The only superstars dressed up, by the way, which was a bummer.
It was.
But they did it. Perfectly.
A home run.
It was Xavier Woods with Jimmy Hart. Big E was Akeem. And then Kofi was Brother Love.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah.
The entire thing was fantastic.
So they're giving out candy. They're approached by Rusev and Aiden English.
Yeah.
Aiden English is singing. Rusev says Halloween is a dumb holiday for dumb children.
Mm-hmm.
Dumps out the candy and stomps all over it.
Mm-hmm.
This makes Big E very mad.
Yeah.
And sets up a match between the two of them later on the evening.
Yeah. Next up, we had the only women's division segment on the show, and it did not have a match. It was Becky Lynch kind of firing up the troops, spraying Ellsworth, who was the only other person dressed up. He was dressed like a dog.
Yeah.
She sprayed him with some water after he barked at her.
Yeah.
And then Natalia comes in, and she basically she sort of like blamed. She said, "If you guys lose, it's Charlotte's fault." Is that what she said? Something
like
Natalia
that. Yeah. Said that, yeah.
Yeah. I thought there's a Becky Lynch is so damn charming.
Oh, yeah.
That she pulled that off last night. The writing is terrible in the women's division.
Good.
I don't
it's
know what
good.
The deal is. SmackDown and Raw. Like, okay, there's that segment. Sorry, we didn't even talk about what happened here. It was great. So New Day was giving out candy.
Well, I did say what happened.
And then he stomped on the candy.
Yeah, I said all that.
I totally zoned you out. The kind of quirks that we see with Rusev, okay, Aiden English. With the New Day. And granted, it's the New Day. They're awesome. Why don't we see that kind of personality stuff with the women? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't get that. You don't get that kind of stuff with them.
I felt like Becky was trying to interject that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she always tries to interject that, and they all did the little teacup
She does
thing.
The most. She does She does so much with what she's given. I feel like there was a little bit of that with Lana and Tamina.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like there was some character stuff there, but then they just sort of dropped it.
They were trying to do it.
But otherwise, I don't know. It seems to just... I don't know.
It feels very, what's the word I'm looking for? Stilted.
Yeah. Poorly written.
Yeah.
Is a better word. Next up. Oh, this is great. So we didn't get a women's match, but we got Baron Corbin versus Sin Cara again.
For the third week in a row.
What? Wait a second. Was this one for the U.S. title?
I don't know. I don't know if any of them been for the U.S. title.
Why are none of these? If Sin Cara won the first 2 weeks because of the first week it was count out.
DQ.
The second week it was DQ.
And this week it was declared a no contest.
And this last week, because Sin Cara just started whooping up on Baron Corbin. Where are they getting these refs from? They're always getting, the count out one was correct. The other two weren't.
Yeah, because they replayed it. Because I said last week when Baron was DQ'd because Sin Cara wasn't in the corner. I mean, he was on the mat towards the corner. I don't think you have to break anything up there, though. You have to be actually physically in the corner of the ring. You have to allow your opponent an opportunity to get out of the corner, so you have a five count. But if he's on the ground near the corner, I think you're cool. I think you can just wail away until they give up.
They're trying to push this whole like MMA thing with so many of their wrestlers, And then when some wrestler actually displays some ground and pound,
yeah,
you know,
they get DQ'd.
They get DQ'd. Are you serious?
Lame.
Because you're right. Because I watched it again too in the replay, and commentary tried to push that he didn't, you know, respect the five count.
It shouldn't be a five count.
Yeah. Anyways, Baron tried to rip off Sin Cara's mask. That was kind of the story here.
That was
and
the
then,
story.
Yeah, and then Sin Cara. The other part of the story was Sin Cara didn't like that, and he beat the crap out of Baron Corbin outside. Are they back to punishing Baron Corbin now?
Well, I read that hey, Sin Cara signed a new contract.
I want your mask.
And so they're kind of giving him a bit of a push since he re-signed.
Talk about non-news.
Well, I always heard that Sin Cara always, at least, you know.
Which Sin Cara are we talking about?
Just the Sin Cara character.
Oh, okay.
Sold a lot of merch.
Oh, yeah.
Just based on the packaging of the character.
Right.
So maybe they're trying to reignite that or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that Sin Cara was out there throwing some haymakers and being aggressive. It was enjoyable.
How long have we been with the current Sin Cara? It's been a while.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of years now, yeah. I think. Yeah. It's just weird. They never have done anything with him, really, besides just wrestle.
I know.
And that's just, it's like almost at the point where he's suicide from TNA. It's like, why do I care about this guy? It's a different guy every week. In this case, it's not. Same mm-hmm. guy. Mm-hmm. But he never told. Last night, he finally talked. So now we can, after how many years of him, the costume being around, we can actually start caring about the guy? I don't know. It's weird. They have Sin Cara out there, but no Ty Dillinger.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It's so weird. Anyways. Next up, we've got the Usos. They were doing an interview. They were talking about the whole SmackDown versus Raw thing, how they've, you know, picking up the thread that Shane let down or laid out there, talking about how SmackDown is always looked at as the B show, and they're really the A show, and they're going to prove it. And then they're interrupted by Shelton Benjamin and Gable, Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Chad Gable. They said that that's all fine and good, but next week we get our – and, hey, they took our suggestion. First they used the interview mic.
Yes.
And then when Renee Young beat Feet, they went to a boom.
Yeah,
because
so you'd actually hear Shelton Benjamin. And it was great.
Shelton Benjamin. No, it was awesome. And then Chad Gable started rapping at them, and it was bad, but it was saved by Shelton Benjamin doing the
– yeah.
GIF meme thing.
I know. Yeah. He had like the his path through the frame.
Yes.
Was perfect.
Yes, it was. He did a very
And then
good
he looped back around to stand next to Gable after that. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I love Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, he's great.
Next up, we had one of the Tiny Singh guys.
Samir.
Oh, but for first, yeah, it was Jinder Mahal's promo. Man, I don't know. I love Jinder Mahal. I kind of want him always to be champion just because I don't know what they're going to do with him when he's not champion anymore. Everything about him is designed for a champion.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
If we had had all this before him being a champion, it'd have been like, okay. Well,
and
I'm,
then culminating in a championship.
Yeah, that would have been fine. I could have understood it. But everything they've done has been him as champion. I just feel like without the title, I don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah.
A lot of people were giving me flack because they were saying yesterday when we answered the question.
What mid-carder could you see being on the pre-show in a year? Yeah.
Right. Jinder Mahal.
Well, he's not exactly a mid-carder right now. He's champion. He's
no, I know, but you know,
but yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah.
How high of a possibility?
It's at least a coin flip at this point.
Wow, 50-50. Huh? Interesting. Anyways, AJ Styles came out. He interrupted, of course, as he always does whenever Jinder Mahal transitions to his language of Punjabi to talk to his people with. He always cracks me up when he starts talking in Punjabi because he immediately says, you know, he said something. I'm not going to try to speak Punjabi, but he says like one word and then Samir Singh, AJ Styles. And anyways, then AJ Styles interrupted him, comes out and wins within what, like 2 minutes or something?
Less than that. It was about 45 seconds. Hit Samir with Styles Clash, picked up the win almost immediately after the pinfall was counted. Jinder gets in the ring, starts beating up AJ, hits them with a couple of colossus.
Yeah.
So this is going to be our main event for Clash of Champions in December. And if AJ doesn't win here,
it's going to be Cena at Mania.
I feel like Jinder's carrying that belt all the way to Mania.
I think that's a really good chance right now anyways. I think they think, hey, we've gotten this far. It's not like the ratings have fallen off a cliff or anything.
Know.
You know, might as well carry it on to Mania, have Cena's... Yeah.
17 record-breaking reign happened there.
Has Cena mentioned on the Bella's show, like the wedding stuff? Is that happening like anytime soon?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't watch that stuff.
I kind of, with Cena's schedule, it's going to be a situation like it was when he tied Flair's record where he held the belt for a month.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It seems like if you're going to break Ric Flair's record and win it for the 17th time, I feel like you need to hold that belt for a little bit.
Right.
Otherwise, it just seems kind of like a light rain, mm-hmm. inconsequential. And if you're breaking a record, even though it was a kayfabe record, kind of completely made up, I feel like that record-breaking win and reign should mean something.
Yeah, you'd think. But you know how the WWE is. They live for the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it went away. It knew that I had my eyes on it.
Yeah. It was a little
fruit fly or something. Okay, so let's say Cena picks it up at Mania, and I know we're booking way ahead of like Vince McMahon even knowing what's going on. Cena picks up the title at Mania, which I think is at this point in my mind, that's a 70% chance.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent possibility.
That's a good possibility. Who takes it off Cena? I think a Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
That'll make his, because here's the thing about that. A Nakamura title win over Cena means more than a Nakamura title win over Jinder Mahal. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And we saw what it did for Nakamura. Like one of the very few bright spots for Nakamura on main roster.
Match against Cena.
What's his match against Cena? Yeah, on SmackDown. Match. Yeah, it was really good. Give them a bunch of time at, if he picks it up in April,
Money in the Bank. Oh, yeah. That'll be a Raw pay-per-view next year.
Oh. They could do it on any pay-per-view. That doesn't have to be like a big pay-per-view moment, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be kind of nice if we're at one of the major four, but I guess it's not necessary.
I mean, have to wait till SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. No. And then we can get AJ versus AJ Styles at
AJ SummerSlam. Versus AJ Styles?
Nakamura versus AJ Styles.
Okay.
Maybe that. Well, you know, my career mode, you can do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
apparently.
That's great.
Yeah. I have a problem with that guy. That's what Kevin Owens said. And then who's the guy he has a problem with?
Kevin Owens.
Speaking of Kevin Owens, we got him and Sami Zayn having another
this is great.
Brotherly love fest.
Sami
backstage.
Zayn's like genuine kayfabe smile.
Yeah, I know.
It's the best.
Oh, it's the best thing ever, dude.
Just this huge beaming smile. He's so happy.
So once again, he's sort of waxing about Shane McMahon, inserting himself in to the Survivor Series big matchup, SmackDown versus Raw.
And saying that even though Sami didn't win last week, so he's not on the team. If Kevin wins, improves.
Mm-hmm.
Invaluable
yeah.
to Team SmackDown and leads them to victory,
yeah.
then Shane has to give them whatever they want.
Right.
There, and thus it would become the Kevin and Sammy show. No.
No, the Sammy and Kevin show.
Yes.
And then Kevin Owens gives him a big pat on the back, and then Sami Zayn just looks very, very enthusiastic. Very
so happy.
Very happy.
Then another Bludgeon
Brothers
promo.
Oh, I missed
promo.
This one.
Yeah. It's a terrible gimmick. It's awful.
It's definitely not good.
It's pretty bad.
It's, I like it better than them just being them, though. Because here's the thing. It's so bad, it's funny to talk about. It kind of is. It's kind of funny and it's kind of depressing.
The only way they can redeem it is if they make it hyper self-aware.
Like how would they do that?
I don't know, because they've given a zero indication that's the direction they're heading.
Because you can look
at it. It seems very sincere.
Maybe if you look at Luke Harper's face and eyes, you can tell he understands it's bad.
Yeah,
they're going that subtle. Slowly breaking a professional wrestler who understands his creative is bad.
Doubtful.
Maybe this is some really, really in-depth acting
stuff here.
Yeah, some super meta stuff.
Because
his eyes are dead, dude.
Yeah, they are.
He's
highly doubt it.
He's like, wait, you want me to talk how? He's like, I'm an incredibly articulate human being. You want me to talk like this, Bludgeon Brothers? Like a combination between Ultimate Warrior and John Laurinaitis.
Yeah.
Two of the weirdest speakers ever in the professional wrestling industry.
It makes zero sense.
Bludgeon Brothers!
It's terrible.
Oh, it's so bad, but it's funny. It makes me laugh. Especially because it really seems like the Fashion Police are headed towards the Bludgeon Brothers.
That's the only reason I think they might go some weird meta.
Oh, really?
Because that's what the Fashion Police is completely self-aware.
I don't have the confidence.
Oh, I don't either.
I
think instead of going self-aware from both sides, they're going to have one gimmick be self-aware and the other one be completely oblivious.
What if they did this? This is giving me chills that I'm thinking about this. What if they make them a modern-day walking version of the Shockmaster? So they make their big debut, right?
And they fall through a
but
wall.
But they have a big, like, epic botch immediately out the gate as soon as they walk out. I don't know what it could be. But yeah, they fall through a wall, or they bust through a wall,
yeah,
and they fall.
Yeah.
And that becomes kind of their gimmick.
Okay.
It'd be so sad, but it'd be so funny.
Yeah, it could be funny. It's better than playing it straight.
Yeah, I know. They forget their lines. What if it's like super meta like that?
Because if they're sincere about this Bludgeon Brother thing, it's going to be awful.
It's not good. And they probably are. They're probably super sincere about it.
They're going to be laughed out of the building.
It's so bad.
Because it's so bad.
Bludgeon Brothers.
It's terrible.
It's not good, man.
Hey. Like, the name is something they would name a tag team in the 80s. The whole thing is very
80s. And like a not successful tag team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you forgot about, oh, they were the Bludgeon Brothers? That's weird. Forgot terrible. About that.
Awful.
It'd be like a tag team that, what's his face, Terry Taylor was in and we forgot about.
Yeah, no.
It's like the York Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Next. Rusev. Rusev Day versus Big E.
Aiden English comes out, starts singing a Rusev Day song.
Mm-hmm.
New Day come out.
The pairing of Aiden English and Rusev.
That, fantastic.
That's a genius. That's a masterstroke right there.
Yeah.
That's great.
Good match. Gave it a lot of time.
Yeah, this is fun.
Towards the finish, or at the finish, Aiden English stands on the announce table, starts singing Rusev Day.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier Woods starts playing his trombone through the bullhorn.
Yeah.
Double
axe handle from the table.
Yes. Aiden English goes into the ring, gets hit with a big ending.
Which allows Rusev to kick Big E in the back and pick up the pinfall.
Yeah.
And he's very happy with himself. Happy Rusev is my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Ever. And especially the segment backstage with Shane.
Oh, yeah.
I was cracking up hard.
It was awesome. Are you elated now?
Oh, just Rusev Day. From Rusev was great.
That was awesome.
And the whole time. Well, here, let's talk about the Sin Cara interview briefly. He gave an
Do
interview.
Do we have to?
And he just went into his motivation. He's talking about the mask is a very, you know, for luchadors, it's really important.
I went through a whole
He didn't like Baron Corbin trying to rip his mask off.
Baron Corbin, I don't know if I can hear.
That's what it sounded like, man. I couldn't understand it.
I don't like Baron Corbin with my mask off.
Yeah, I didn't understand enough to get the basic idea.
Well, you're a better man than I am, I guess. I gotta invest in a better sound
system. Let's move on to this Shane.
Do you have
McMahon.
A soundbar for your TV?
What?
A soundbar for your TV. Really? You just have a
soundbar? Yeah, the speakers in the TV.
Right on. I got a soundbar.
You should get one of those.
See?
I thought
you are really good at that. Good job.
I can't really hear on my left ear. It's all plugged up since I've been sick.
Well, maybe you just know me that well.
Shane McMahon was backstage, was approached by Aiden English. Rusev comes in the frame.
Rusev Day!
And he was telling Shane that he wants to be part of the Survivor Series
team. I know,
and
this sucks, man, because he's not.
Not going to happen.
Because he's going to fight AJ Styles. AJ is going to make the team. This is going to be the one time when I'm super actively rooting for Rusev.
Yeah.
I really want him. I'm sorry. Against AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Because I love AJ Styles, my favorite. I am going to be actively rooting for Rusev. This bums me out that he's not going to be on the team.
I know.
Oh, this
saying,
makes me so
saying,
sad.
Look what I did during the siege. I was out in front. You know, laying some haymakers on people. And I love it. The whole time he was standing there, when he wasn't talking, he was flexing his pecs.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
Oh, it was
huge
fantastic.
Huge smile on his face. Rusev is the best.
You know what they should do? Given there's going to be a lot of people who aren't making the cut on the Survivor Series card, is do a SmackDown versus Raw Rumble to kick things off.
Yeah.
Winner gets, I don't know, a trophy or some
something,
crap.
Something, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's bragging rights.
Yeah, I agree.
Do that.
Have Rusev,
and have Rusev win that.
Yeah.
Rusev Day.
God, that was so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Happy Rusev is best Rusev.
It is. Well, okay. Actually, second best Rusev. Top Rusev is Hoodie Rusev.
I don't know. Tank Rusev's pretty good.
Ooh, that is really good.
But yeah, Hoodie Rusev is good.
Hoodie Rusev's good. Clowning Dolph Ziggler Rusev is good, too.
Yeah.
Dog Ziggler. That's clever Rusev.
Yeah.
Because he's being clever.
I mean, Rusev is good regardless.
Rusev is great. Fashion Files, Stranger Things.
Ty Dillinger was in it. That was cool.
Yeah.
He
got some TV time. No, this is great. You didn't probably understand a lick of it, though, right?
Yeah, I don't really watch.
You didn't see the first one.
Well, I've seen episodes of Stranger Things.
Oh, you've seen episodes?
Yeah, I never watched the full first season, though.
You know who Barb is?
Yeah.
Oh, you know who Barb is. Yeah. Okay, all right.
I've seen maybe a couple episodes in their entirety and then bits and pieces of others.
Mm, yeah. No, this is funny. This is good. I liked it. It was cool. It had the Ascension in it again.
Yeah.
I love them. They're great. I laughed. I just wonder, like, I don't even know the point of this anymore. You know what I mean?
I think the point is that they're it's plainly obvious. I mean, it's a gag that's plainly obvious what 2B is.
Yeah, I know.
And instead of going for any sort of drama, they're just dancing around it.
Yeah.
for last. That's the whole point of
it. Yeah. No, I know.
But I mean, in terms of the eventual program between Fashion Police and Blood and Brothers, I don't know what the point is.
Yeah. I don't know if they're ever going to get there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like it kind of feels at that point, at this point now, they're just sort of, and I like it because it gets them over. People like it. People really like it. But you know, I always like to know, okay, well, where can this go?
I don't think they know where it's going.
I don't think they do either. That's sort of the thing. They're just like, okay, Lord, what are we going to parody this week? Yeah. That's fine. I'm fine going along for the ride.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Because the end game for that is that it's Fashion Police versus Bludgeon Brothers and Fashion Police gets destroyed.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And I don't want to see that.
I don't like that. Next up, we had a decent main event.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This was not sort of the, you know, every once in a while on SmackDown, like for example, Shinsuke versus Cena. We mentioned that earlier. That was a shortened version
of a pay-per-view match.
Of a pay-per-view match. This really wasn't, you know.
It felt like a good SmackDown main event.
Yeah, it did. It did. I do still think, now that I really think about it, well, I don't know. Yeah, this should have been the main event. Bobby versus Dolph has just been too lackluster to warrant a main event spot at this point.
Yeah.
But having like a good meaty 25-minute
best 2 out of 3. This was about a 15-minute main event.
Yeah. So obviously this is for the spot on the Survivor Series team. We both knew this. The problem also with this is that
we knew Nakamura was going to win.
How great would it have been if Sami Zayn got in? Then you can right away to get him back out after the fact. But you expect Kevin Owens to get in at this point because, oh, they're both going to be on the same team. Or they're both going to be on the team, but Kevin Owens loses. Because then you don't know who's going to win this.
Yes.
And then Kevin Owens loses. Then you have this dilemma where one's on the team and one's not on the team.
Yeah, I know. And like Sami Zayn could quit out of protest or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Because he thinks Kevin Owens got screwed out of his spot, something like that. But a decent enough match. Sami Zayn makes his way out to ringside towards the end. And Nakamura gets ready to hit a Kinshasa, and Zayn pulls Owens out of the ring so he doesn't get hit. He goes out and clears the announce table and throws the tabletop into someone's face.
Yeah.
Orton's music hits. Appears out of nowhere.
Orton out of nowhere.
And gives Zayn a side suplex on top of the table.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much Randy Orton's outside signature at this point.
Yeah.
That distraction was enough. It gave Nakamura an opportunity to hit a Kinshasa. Nakamura wins. Part of Team Survivor Series SmackDown Live TV.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And then we're off the air and on to Crisley.
Yeah.
Crisley started off with Crisley in bed with his wife. Irony of ironies.
Pretty sure no one cares.
Moving on. Oh, au contraire. It's weird because USA, it seems like they've got some really cool stuff coming up. You saw the ads for Damnation, right?
Yeah.
That show looks great.
Yeah.
Looks really good.
That one with Jessica Biel looked interesting. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, no, I saw a couple episodes. That was really good. The Mr. Robot's good. Yeah. And then they've got Crisley on there. That's weird. Right? And they're going all in on that guy. They gave him two shows. He's got a talk show, too. Talk shows are like super cheap to produce.
I know, but they're also kind of cringy to watch.
Oh, they're terribly cringy to watch. And he's terrible.
You need like a really good interview to pull that off.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he is.
Like a Dick Cavett type.
Or a David Letterman.
Why didn't they get Dick Cavett on that show?
He's really old.
I'm sure he could still give a good interview. Very fascinating.
David Letterman is a great interviewer.
He's not. I know. He's not going. He's not coming out of retirement. Are you kidding me?
I thought he was going to. I heard he signed something with Netflix.
Probably to produce.
I don't know,
man. Is it going to be like an Anthony Bourdain type David Letterman
thing? That'd be cool.
That'd be rad.
That'd be awesome.
But just like in New York. Because he's a big New York guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool. Because there's a lot going on in New York. I'd love to see
but you know, Letterman's also a Midwesterner. He's from the Midwest.
That's right. He can do New York and the Midwest. And then the rest of the United States.
And he's generally a beloved TV personality.
I love David Letterman.
Letterman was great.
Yeah. Let's answer some questions.
Yes. CM Punk finds it insulting. Power Rank.
Power Rank.
WWE wrestlers that should get their own documentary. He suggests The Miz. Good choice.
Does she get their own documentary?
Documentary.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's long overdue. That would be a fascinating one. That's a good one.
Sami Zayn would be a good one.
Him and Kevin Owens together would be a good one.
Yeah, they already did a Kevin Owens one, though.
Yeah. I wonder how much. I never saw that one.
I want to watch it.
Is that on the network?
I don't know if it's on the network yet.
Should be. It's weird they still
have TV stuff. Kevin Nash. He doesn't have one.
Oh,
Scott Hall has one, though.
That'd be good. Kevin Nash would be good. You tell all about booking Nitro and Thunder.
You bring the whiteboard out again?
Of course.
Yeah.
Did you ever go back and watch that?
Mm-mm.
I love that some people picked up on that.
Booker T had an episode of 24.
Did he? That's awesome.
I think, but they haven't done a full like 2-hour documentary on him.
He had a really good Legends interview. He had a really good Legends interview with JBL.
Here, let me double check on that. I know they did a short form documentary thing on him, but they haven't done the full hour and a half, 2 hour documentary.
His Legends interview is really fascinating. I think he did a Legend. Am I thinking of Booker T?
Anyways, carry on.
I like that there's another good question here from Therathabada. He says, many people are against guys, because this pertains to me. Many guys are against guys like Aleister Black or Finn Balor beating guys like Brock or Braun Strowman because they're, quote, too small and it wouldn't be believable for them to win. He says, I hate this argument because I believe that almost anybody could beat anybody if it's booked correctly. It's pro wrestling. A lot of people are giving me flack because I said, who did I say this about? I forget who I said it about. Oh, Adam Cole.
Yeah.
The Adam Cole against Drew McIntyre thing, because Adam Cole is really tiny. And I get that it's pro wrestling. It's just, you know.
You got to go into it thinking there is both opponents have there's legitimacy to both of them.
Take that theory, like, oh, it's just pro wrestling as long as it's booked right. Take that to like its most extreme example, and you have Hornswoggle versus Brock Lesnar, or Hornswoggle versus Andre the Giant. And it just doesn't make any sense. So there has to be some legitimacy. Now with Aleister Black, I believe it because he's above like a certain height threshold. He's 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I think like, I don't know, 5'11" is probably past.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily just their physical stature. I think him knowing that he has a kickboxing background.
Yeah, that adds to it. Yeah.
I think that could overcome, you know, if someone's shorter.
Yeah, but if he was, but take that again.
That's why I like Daniel Bryan against Batista. Batista towers over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, like twice as wide of him. He's so buff. But knowing that Daniel Bryan is a legitimate wrestler.
Well, there's
and
that.
I always go back to the days of early UFC where Royce Gracie was the smallest guy in the octagon, and he beat everybody because his technique was so good.
Yeah, but there was also the idea, like, Daniel Bryan was built. You know,
yeah,
he
was
built.
In good shape,
that's why it worked for Neville as well. I mean, you know, we saw Neville as, you know, legitimate because he's built. If you take Aleister Black's skill sets and you put him in Jack Gallagher, I still don't believe it, you know? Yeah.
It depends on the opponent.
It depends on the entire package. So it's not just like, is he too small? For Adam Cole, there's nothing about his skill set, who his character is,
that can overcome facing someone that's 6 inches taller and outweighs him by 70 pounds.
And how tiny he is. It's not believable. There has to be some believability there.
Yeah, no. I checked on that Booker T episode of 24 is only half hour. So give Booker T the full 2 hour documentary treatment.
I'm with that.
Yes. Interview bot Jose GGR. Who is more likely to make an impact on the Survivor Series match? Miz and the Miztourage or Sammy and Kevin?
Oh, that's funny.
It's going to be Sammy and Kevin.
I was on the wrong thread. That was from tomorrow's episode.
It's Sammy and Kevin. It's especially now that neither of them are on the team, it's a near certainty they're going to get involved in some capacity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I could see Miz maybe getting involved only to screw Braun.
The Miz-Baron Corbin thing is so inconsequential in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see.
The only way they would do that is if Braun got involved in his match against Baron Corbin.
Because generally these days, if somebody already has a match, even if they have a feud with somebody else, they're not going to dick around with that other person. I think this is a unique situation.
I think Braun could be an exception.
You think Miz is going to interfere with Braun's match?
No, I think Braun might interfere in the Miz's match.
Oh, yeah, that could be. They'll protect both guys.
I would not be surprised if going into WrestleMania, Braun's wearing that IC title, not the Miz.
Yeah, I could see that.
Tommy T, hey friend, knows my question is, what is your favorite moment in wrestling, be it funny or serious? Personally, his favorite moment was the moment when Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Undertaker all stood at the top of the ramp after the End of an Era match. That was good.
That's up there for me, be honest with you.
I think it's Daniel Bryan winning the titles at Mania.
That's big. For me, it was CM Punk leaving, kissing Vince McMahon goodbye with the title at Money in the Bank 2011. Because I was like, the possibilities there.
Of course it's CM Punk. You do.
CM Punk.
You do. He is like, what? What is he?
Huh?
What is he?
He's the best in the world.
No.
He's the coolest.
Yes, that's your
assessment. You can't think of anybody cooler than him. The fact that you
in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, give me a couple minutes. I can think of about 10.
Go ahead.
I need a couple minutes.
Really?
We're in the middle of doing a show. My mind's focused on doing the show. Ask me tomorrow and I
can think of a couple off the top of my head.
Who?
Freddie Mercury.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one. David Bowie.
Okay.
See? Dick Cavett.
Well.
Who's cooler, CM Punk or Dick Cavett?
Probably CM Punk.
I don't know, man. Dick Cavett's pretty cool under pressure. Double T. Hey, guys. So my question is, out of all his matches so far on main roster, who has Shinsuke had the best in-ring chemistry with? He thinks it was Randy Orton. It was John Cena.
John Cena.
Because those are two guys who understood what Shinsuke Nakamura should be.
Yes. Sexton Hardcastle. Sexton Hardcastle loves fantasy sports. And he honestly thinks that fantasy wrestling could be a thing. The only problem is how would points be given? So he asks us, give him a rough point system for fantasy wrestling. I've actually thought about fantasy wrestling, starting up a fantasy wrestling league.
Kayfabe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's any infrastructure online for that. So it'd have to be scoring by hand, which I don't have time to do. So obviously you'd earn points for winning.
Yeah.
I think there should be different amounts of points for potentially winning by pin versus submission.
Mm-hmm.
And also I think there should be you should lose points for submitting. I think you should lose points for willingly giving up.
Okay.
That's what I feel.
All right.
I had some other ideas too. Like run-ins, successful run-ins or points.
Okay. All right. I can tell you're very proud of this idea of yours.
Like winning by DQ or count out, you get points, but not as much as you won by pinfall or submission.
Right.
Because a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
There's a weekly bonus for if you carry a title.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
Okay.
That's just like 5 minutes of thinking about it.
I like it, man. It's all good stuff. You should do something with it.
But again, that's time.
When you get home, get out the typewriter.
I need like a ledger to keep track of everything. I don't have time for that.
Like a legal pad.
No, like a full-on ledger or a spreadsheet. Like everybody has
power rank, 10
talents big, on their team.
Yeah, Big John Spud has a question.
Oh, this is a good question.
He wants to power rank this. Did you guys see that fan get decked in the face by the cover of the table when Sammy threw it?
Yeah.
Recklessly, Sami Zayn. Power rank top 5 guys you'd be okay eating that table from.
Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe.
Aleister Black,
okay. Yeah.
I'll be honest. I'll say
Finn
this.
Finn Balor, because he seems really cool. And I know it was an accident.
My thing is this. Anybody in the WWE, I'd be cool with. Because I would know that it was probably a fluke thing. They wouldn't usually do something like that. Everything is okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I would think unless you catch the edge of it somewhere sensitive, you'll probably be fine.
Well, he had some blood. He was on Twitter last night.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's funny because I saw his Twitter picture and he seemed cool with it. He said it's all good. It's part of the show. He had some blood cut right here.
What if an edge cut is?
Yeah, I think so. Because then I went back and watched it.
So I saw him kind of recoil.
He recoiled, and then they showed him a couple more times, and he was either rooting on the finish, or I think they actually took him away before the finish. Because he kept on, he's like, crap, I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
And I think he honestly just wanted to be in the show, but it wouldn't stop bleeding. And so, because the cut, it was like hours later that he took the picture, and the cut was still there.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it wasn't like, just a little mark.
I got all sorts of free stuff.
I know. They were probably like, hey, we need to sign this, and then, everything you want. It's all yours.
Yeah.
Pictures, 2 suites. If that happened to you, and you got whacked, and they took you backstage, and they're like, hey, look, we'll give you all the stuff. You just got to sign a liability thing. So we're good. And, you sign it.
You have to seal it with a 2-suite?
No. I'm saying, what if the club comes up to you and say, hey, man, 2-suite. It's so good that you took that for the team. You would have to, right?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, you totally would. You totally would. I don't think I would. Out of, you don't want it to be awkward at that point, right?
I just do what I did with AJ. Say, sorry, I don't 2-suite.
You didn't do that with AJ. Until the camera was not rolling.
I did, in fact, do that with AJ.
You waited until the camera was... I saw clearly you two-sweeted him. You thought you were going to get away with it.
If you saw anything that was out of your peripheral vision, that is not dependable.
You two-sweeted yesterday. It's on camera.
Oh, my God.
I posted a Twitter rate.
Doing this, pointing at the camera.
You blew up
Anyways, here's the thing. Making this
fast
gesture...
like a cat.
...isn't necessarily two-sweeting. Two-sweeting is two people...
Coming together, man. Come
on,
let's do it.
Yeah. And that I won't do. I have made this gesture before.
I'm just saying.
On camera, I think.
Listen, I'm just saying. If Gallows and Anderson come up to you, wrap their big arms around you, and say, hey, man, thinking that, who wouldn't want it too sweet?
Here's what I'd do. I'd make it intentionally awkward. Like if I see the hand approaching, I'd put out a fist.
Oh,
like
no way. Fist bump or something. Do this, and they do this.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, sorry.
Then it's a game of chicken, isn't it?
Yeah, but I'm not going to lose that game.
I think you would.
No.
All right, moving on.
The madcap Mr. Lipkin.
Mr. Lipkin.
Whose music would get a bigger pop if it played during the 2018 Royal Rumble, Daniel Bryan or Stone Cold Steve Austin? Depends if they were entering the match. If they're entering the match, Stone Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, because the glass break is so Pavlovian.
Well, it'd be so unexpected, too, because he said, you know, how many times that he was done wrestling?
Yeah, I know.
Whereas we all know Daniel Bryan really wants to wrestle. They'd both get enormous pops.
Look, both of them would blow the roof off arena.
Easily.
But, I don't know, maybe Daniel Bryan. Because everybody knows how much he wants
it.
That's
true.
It's like, man, it's our best friend.
But
he really wants it.
Stone Cold is like top superstar ever.
Nothing beats the glass breaking.
I know. Nothing gets a crowd hype like that. And pretty much every week we hear Daniel Bryan's music.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. Sean Holver, when do y'all think Carmella will cash in? Maybe Survivor Series? And if she does cash in at Survivor Series, if it's before the 5-on-5 women's match, does she still compete in the match?
I guess she would, yeah.
She would. I don't think that's what's going to happen.
No.
But didn't you say like last week that you felt that Survivor Series
that was before they announced all the matches, though.
I gotcha.
Before they announced it was a champion versus champion. That changes things a bit.
Do you see a problem with the men's 5-on-5 match at Survivor Series being mainly, this is from Henry Harris, primetime Henry Harris, being mainly baby faces? Apparently Cage Side Seats has something about.
Yeah, I saw that too.
I'm thinking it's going to be all baby faces. No, man, I don't have a problem with that. I said before, I think SmackDown sort of established themselves within the universe of the Survivor Series brand versus brand thing as the heels in general. So I don't really have a problem with that.
Be Braun, Finn. Well, Joe's not a face. If Joe makes the team.
Did Cage Side say who they thought was going to be on the team?
Joe's definitely not a face after that promo.
Do-do-do.
Here, I'll pull up the rumor thing next. I saw it this morning.
Do-do.
Ask another question.
All right. Tim Morris, what does Larson hate more? Beach ball mania or successful pinfalls during an ad break? How often do you really get a successful
pinfall? Not very often, but it's infuriating. Here, this is what
infuriating, really?
This is what Cage Side Seats has to say.
All right.
The idea, at least on the men's side, is to have as many baby faces as possible, not exclusively baby faces.
No, man, I like it. I think it's fine. Yeah, I want the coolest matchups, man.
I want
Finn Balor and AJ Styles to be in the ring together.
Yeah.
People will mark out for that one, just like they did at whatever the thing was. TLC.
Yes. See,
Fashion Police informant Gary James wants us to predict who's eating the pin in each of the Survivor Series
matches. I think
we're
going to wait to do that during our predictions video.
Yeah. So wait a couple weeks, Mr. Gary James.
Dick Knuckle, if you guys were going to show someone wrestling for the first time, would you show them a great match, a great promo, or a great crowd moment? He adds here, specifically WWE. I mean, considering it's wrestling, I'd show him a match.
Yeah, I'd show him a match.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple supportive Sin Cara, pro Sin Cara questions here from Zim and Ben Thuggin. Ben Thuggin says, friendos, pissed off Sin Cara, yay or nay? He says he kind of liked PO'd Sin Cara. And then Zim said, was wondering, were you guys as fired up as I was to see Sin Cara finally get to unleash the beast?
No, I thought it was good.
I need more if I'm ever going to care about Sin Cara. It's got to be more than that. I'm not as easy to please as some people here. I am the stable. First time patron, long time listener. Thank you, friend.
Thank you.
Was wondering, since the Males Raw team seems like they're going to win with the Kurt Angle stipulation, do you guys think that conversely that means the Women's SmackDown team will win?
I think if Asuka is on the Raw Women's team, it's a guarantee the Raw Women's team wins.
Gee willikers. Wowie wow.
Dakota Finley, hey friendos, do you think the Bludgeon Brothers could be salvaged by
adding a
self-awareness to how comedically bad their gimmick is? They got to do it.
Bludgeon Brothers. I'm telling you, dude. Have them be modern-day Shockmasters.
Yeah,
go all the way with the Shockmasters.
I think that's pretty good.
It's going to kill their careers, though. Luke Harper should go.
No, no. If they pull off some quality performances,
you think they can get over with it?
Yeah. I mean, part of the Fashion Files is that it's.
Oh, here we go. This is great. This is an easy question.
Comedically self-aware.
Easy question to answer. What? James the Highland Scott. The WWE Raw guys are staying at a hotel that I work in at Glasgow for their upcoming live event, and I'm really excited to meet them in person. It's funny. He says, I'm really excited to meet them in person when I serve them. For a second, I thought it said swerve them. I was like, what are you going to do? James the Highland Scott. His question is, who is your favorite and most genuine wrestler you have met or interviewed? AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Partially because he's like our age.
Yeah.
And
I have a feeling we could talk with him endlessly about THQ, N64 wrestling video games.
Yeah, all sorts of
topics. We have that common ground.
Conversations.
He seemed really relatable, down to earth.
Yeah.
Just like a normal dude.
He was the coolest, man.
Yeah.
He was really neat. I loved him.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Let's do some trivia. We have mail.
Oh, yeah, we got mail.
That one's specifically for you, so you open that one.
Okay. It says Steve here.
Yeah.
From Tony Cabot.
And this one's from Karen. It says, congrats on a successful draft, # Team Larson. Awesome. And thank you for being my friendos. You're welcome, Karen. Thank you for this.
Sorry it took forever to send it. Had some medical procedures. Hope you guys enjoy my teeny gift, Tony Cabot. So this is for both of us.
Oh, cool.
Probably just somehow knows that it's my P.O. box, technically. It said, teeny mates, get slammed. Collect all 32 WWE superstars and build a double-sided puzzle.
Whoa. Oh, we've had some of those before, I think.
Have we?
I think so.
Nice. I don't know how to open this thing.
Read that.
Worry about that later. To the bestest of friendos. Ah, look at that. It's a card that says, Bacon is my friend, is my best friend, but it says, Butch Bacon. She changed it. She says, happy friendo draft, WWE 2K18. Oh, look at that.
Cool.
It's the picture of all of us. That's so nice. We took it Mania
awesome.
Last year. Thank you for building such a fantastic community and welcoming us into your homes. Give my best to Lacey, Bama, Gypsy, and Fence Dog. Hope this Shinsuke Nakamura will occupy some prime real estate on the Newsplex set. Karen, it says, you rank right up there, too, at the top-notch super spot.
Awesome.
Always your fangirl, Karen. Thank you very much.
That's
this
awesome.
Is
Thank
awesome.
You so much.
That is totally going at the daily set. I love it. Look at it. He's doing the little thing with his hand there.
That's Rad. Awesome.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you
so
very much.
Much
for that. We love it. So it's trivia time.
Regular
and then
trivia.
Afterwards, it's chat trivia. The most exciting time of the week for our friendos.
Let's start with attitude.
I want to know what's in this thing.
Here, give it to me.
Can you do it? We're starting with attitude today?
Yeah.
I will start. What big events? What comedian and TV star was a surprise entrant in the 2001 Royal Rumble match?
Drew Carey.
Very good.
There, I got it open.
Well done.
Who served as a special guest referee when Brock Lesnar and Goldberg clashed at WrestleMania 20? Ooh, your elbow popped.
It did. Stone Cold.
Yeah.
We got an Uso in here.
Cool.
Championships. What pair of brothers defeated the Acolytes to win their first World Tag Team Championship in June of 99?
Hardys.
Very good. Oh, you're doing good.
Triple H successfully defended the World Heavyweight Championship against what former five-time WCW champion at WrestleMania 19?
Booker T.
Yep.
Which Booker T totally should have won.
He really should have won that match.
Superstar Bio. Attitude Era. Superstar Gangrel introduced what two superstars to the WWE in the faction known as the Brood?
Edge and Christian.
These are like all easy. What the heck?
Who was revealed to be the higher power?
Oh. It was me, Austin!
There's a lot more to that question. I don't need to read it.
Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
Classic era.
Classic.
Big Vince. What tough guy superstar from Harlem won the 20-man battle royal that opened WrestleMania 4?
WrestleMania 4.
Yes.
Tough guy?
Tough guy superstar from Harlem, but it was WrestleMania 4.
I don't remember.
Bad News Brown.
Ah! Should have got that.
I would not have known that.
Who did Bret Hart defeat in an I Quit match at WrestleMania 11?
Shawn Michaels?
Bob Backlund. Don't remember that at all.
Remember that one. Championships. Who helped The Undertaker in his match with Hulk Hogan for the WWE Championship at Survivor Series 91?
Is it Sid?
Ric Flair.
Ah! Damn it. Before becoming a successful manager, what woman beat the Fabulous Moolah for the WWE Women's title in July 1987?
1987?
Yeah, I didn't know this.
Sensational Sherry?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Superstar Bio. What was the name of the cologne Rick the Model Martel brought to the ring and often sprayed at opponents using an oversized atomizer?
Oh my God.
Rick Martel had a fragrance, apparently. Had a perfume. What was it called?
I have no idea.
Just take a stab, take a guess. It's one more synonym for hubris.
I mean, there's a lot of synonyms for hubris. Moxie.
Arrogance.
Arrogance.
Yeah.
Ah. What was the name of the maneuver WWE Intercontinental Champion Rick Rude used to finish off his opponents?
Rude Awakening.
Yes.
I got five.
Yeah.
What'd you get? You got three. I got two cards. Give me cards.
I should have got that Bad News Brown one.
You shouldn't have.
No,
it's difficult.
I thought about him too.
What, I got three cards? Two cards?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got. And I got. Lita. Is she dropping? That is. Who do you think that is? She's dropping right there.
That looks like Just Incredible.
Oh, you think so? Wow, that's a good guess right there.
I think.
You think so?
Or Saturn.
Did he have black tights with like a little green something on it?
I can't tell if that's a tattoo or part of Lita's pants.
Oh, let me see. I can check.
I can't remember if Saturn had a back tattoo or not.
That's a shadow. I don't know who that is. That's weird. Anyways, well done, me. Good job.
You.
Patrons, you're up next on the post show with guitar accoutrement from Larson.
Yeah.
And that's it for us. Here's some music for you. Yeah, there you go. And thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.